A few weeks ago, I was listening to a podcast that was interviewing an engineer. And this particular engineer works on building structures for Burning Man. It was interesting to hear about. I knew that the end of this festival, there's this big culmination, and a huge effigy, nicknamed The Man, is burned. What I hadn't realized is that one of the main tenets of this event is to leave no trace. The man is burned, but when all is over, everything else is gone. The huge temple that is built, the art that has been constructed, all gone. Each thing that this engineer created was destined to last 1 week. Just 1 week. And they begin planning for each festival before the previous year's event has even begun. It's hard to imagine all of that for something that lasts only a week. But Burning Man is not alone in this intention to be transitory. In Sweden, there is the aptly named Ice Hotel. And while it was the first, there are many such hotels now throughout the world, and everything in these buildings is built from snow and blocks of ice. From the rooms and the lobby, to chapels and bars, to beds and tables, chairs and bar stools, and yes, even the shot glasses. All ice. It's stunning. And then every spring, it all melts. In 2011, in Christchurch, New Zealand, there was a massive earthquake. The shaking of that earthquake tore apart their cathedral. And then, while repairs were happening, the plan was, a temporary cathedral would be made out of cardboard. It has so been nicknamed the Cardboard Cathedral, and it was built to last about 50 years. But already, it is one of the most popular attractions in the city. And the last building that I want to tell you about is the Isa Grand Shrine in Japan. It's this large and very ornate Shinto shrine. In fact, it's one of the most sacred sites in Japan. And every 20 years, since the late 700s, it has been rebuilt in a new location, with great pains being taken so that each version looks exactly the same. Then the old one is torn down. Currently, it costs about $500 million every time they rebuild it. Why build things that aren't meant to last? Well, Buddhism would tell us that is because everything is impermanent. Things that were built to be transitory and things that were built to last. Death and renewal are natural parts of the world that we live in and our lives. In our prayer book, we hear a similar message put another way: in the midst of life, we are in death. And it's vital for us to remember that, so that instead of demise being this crushing fear that is constantly weighing on us, its persistence in our lives can be freeing. Our gospel begins by saying, as Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." And Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." Immediately after, Jesus goes with Peter and James and John and Andrew to the Mount of Olives. And there, in private, they want to know when these things are going to happen and what to look out for. I mean, it's a valid question. I think all of us may be asking that question if we were in their shoes. The temple was at the very center of everything about Jewish religious life. We hear over and over about how Jesus went to Jerusalem and visited the temple. His disciples went with him to the temple. The temple is also incredibly physically imposing. Anyone entering Jerusalem would have seen it. It dominates the skyline. And the outer porticos alone were said to be able to hold over 400,000 people, a number that wasn't uncommon on the high holy days. And the Temple Mount itself, what is the only piece of the temple that is left, is larger than 29 football fields. It's a big building. But in response to their question, Jesus launches not into an answer, but into an apocalyptic speech, telling people about all of the things that will mark the end. And to be honest, it sounds terrifying. But there's a problem. There's a problem with all of the things that he said. Mark is writing all of this shortly after the temple was destroyed by the Romans in 70 CE. The destruction of the temple, it had come and gone. And guess what? The world was still intact. So, was this all a sham? Is Mark just putting words into Jesus' mouth that accurately depict the destruction of the temple that Mark knew very well was a historical fact? Is all of this just to make Jesus look better? Sometimes the cynical part of me wants to say, perhaps. But what if Jesus is speaking to something far greater than the demolition of a building? You see, this speech that he gives is part of a genre called apocalyptic literature. We hear that word nowadays, and we think about the end of time or the destruction of the world. But in Greek, it actually means an uncovering or an unveiling of something not previously understood. And with his disciples focusing on the future destruction of the temple, they are taking themselves out of the present moment. They are anticipating and dreading wars and disasters and violence that have not happened yet, and they are missing what is happening around them in that instant. If anything, I think Jesus is letting his followers know that they're asking the wrong questions. It's not an if, but a when the temple will crumble. Remember, everything is impermanent. It doesn't take much to look at the news, to see terrible things happening all over the world and in our own country. And to be honest, sometimes it starts to feel like we're facing our own end time. All you have to do is look in the paper or online. You'll see what Jesus told his disciples about wars, political upheavals, and environmental disasters. I remember that I was 6 the first time I realized that a war was happening. It was the Gulf War. And I remember being really terrified. But at this point, I can't even count the number of times that I have seen and heard of nations rising against nation. I was 17 when I can recall being in my first earthquake, a major one. But I remember seeing them on TV long before that, and I've seen so many since. And before I was 10, I learned about famines in Mozambique and Ethiopia and Sudan. And I am sure that each one of you have your own memories of these types of events that you've seen in your lives. And here's my point. These aren't unique events. Sadly, they are things that have happened over and over and over again. They happened after Mark wrote this gospel, and they happened before that too. Destruction is a constant. But I think the real question that Jesus wants us to ask is, what will we do in spite of it? And in a kind of backwards way, Jesus also gives us the answer. Immediately before our gospel story for today, in fact, it was the story we heard last week about a poor widow who gives her last two coins to the temple. Her life as a widow would have been hard, and her future would have been really uncertain. Each day, she would face misfortune and tragedy and even death. But she didn't ever stop caring for the others the way that she had been taught. And so utter catastrophe may be just around the next corner. But we're still here. Right here and right now. And there are people who are suffering in this world that need our care. There's always something that we can do to help with that in some way. Now, maybe this means contributing financially to organizations that we see extending God's love and justice into the world. Maybe it means fighting for affordable housing. Maybe it means writing to legislators and purchasing things consciously to hold companies accountable for their role in climate change. All of us have skills. All of us have talents that can be of a benefit to other people. I would challenge you to look at your life and find yours. This is what Jesus unveils for us. Even when the world is crumbling all around us, we can lift our heads and expect resurrection. And we can expect to work toward the redemption and the rescue of all people. Caring deeply for the well-being of others is precisely the way that we can work with God to create a new heaven and a new earth. Not in some distant future or in some other place entirely, but right here, right now.